Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chris, for reading the Word of God this morning. What a pleasure it is to worship. What a great joy it is to worship. Thank you for your patience as we began this morning, just passing out some information, but yet very quickly being able to turn our thoughts to the holiness of God. And we need that, don't we? Desperately need that. And I praise God just for the opportunity to turn our thoughts and our affections to Him today. As Jake was leading the offering time and he asked about response, the thought that came to my mind, even as we come to this point in our worship, is this: how can I respond to the holiness of God? One thing I can do is listen to Him. One thing I can do is to pay attention when He speaks. One thing I can do is to look carefully at what He says and be serious at what He says. That brings us right now to this time of worship. Let's be serious with what God says. Let's bow our heads right now and ask for His help as we look into His Word. Father, thank You so much. How we just lift up our voices in thanks, in praise to You. And thank You for the reminder, a reminder that we constantly need of who You are and what You're like. Father, it's so easy to live in this world, to live our lives, even as Your people, and to be pulled in every direction, to focus our attention and our affections on things that so easily disappear. And yet, God, You are there. And in Your patience and long-suffering, You remind us that You were there. And Lord, even now, as we continue to worship, give us that desire of heart to know You better. Give us that desire, Lord, to hear what You say, to look at our lives. And God, by the strength of Your Spirit within us, by Your grace that works in our lives, to be changed and transformed. As we continue to look at this important scripture, Paul's writing to the Romans, Father, direct our thinking, direct our attention to You and this great work that You've done for us through Jesus Christ. And we praise You now and thank You and look forward to what You'll do for us through this scripture, through this holy word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning with a question, perhaps worded in a couple different ways, but it's an important question. Can a true believer lose his or her salvation? Can a true believer lose his or her salvation? Here's another way to ask it. Is it possible for a person to actually trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and then lose that forgiveness? Is that possible? Whether we realize it or not, our answer to this question has a great impact on our spiritual lives. And please, this morning, don't sit there and think, this is an easy question, Pastor. And we know the answer, and yes, I pray that you know the answer. But I pray that you live the truth. Amen. That's behind the answer. And when we think about that, folks, there are many, many, many people who say, I'm a Christian, and yet They struggle with assurance of salvation. They struggle with this question of, will I lose my salvation? Can I lose this salvation? Can I lose this forgiveness? If the truth of the security of our salvation is not settled in our minds, then our Christian lives will be one of ongoing turmoil and constant uncertainty and continual defeat. And so here's something that we need to speak about because God speaks about it. Here's a subject that we need to spend some time on because God gives it in His Word. Now, is this real in the lives of Christians? It sure is. Do Christians sometimes struggle with this assurance and this security? They sure do, because you can hear statements from people like this. Well, I used to be a Christian. Or I'm trying to be a Christian. Or I hope that I'm saved. Or I think that I'm saved. And all of these statements reflect that instability and that insecurity and that lack of growth in Christian living. Now, the Apostle Paul speaks to the Romans. We've been here in Romans chapters 3 and 4 for several months. And he speaks of this subject to the Romans. And he speaks about it in the context of this subject of justification. And so as we look now at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you'll not see the words security, and you'll not see the words that speak about assurance, and you won't see the words about eternal security, but yet throughout this passage, the Apostle Paul will give us truth that will encourage us and help us in this very important subject. As a matter of fact, when we think about why Paul wrote to the Romans and who he wrote to, he wrote to Roman Christians, and yet there were people who were struggling in that church. And there were people who were struggling in that church with the whole concept of salvation. And many of those people who had Jewish backgrounds were placing their faith and their trust in their own works or in keeping the law. And you can see that throughout these chapters that we've studied together because Paul addresses that, and he'll continue to do that in the book of Romans. But yet, if you think about these opponents of Paul and these people who questioned the grace of God and the work of God's grace through Jesus Christ, you can almost think about the questions that they would ask. But Paul gives this teaching of justification by faith, and then perhaps here are some of the questions that would come to him. Well, Paul, will this method of God's grace last? Will this grace through faith in Jesus Christ continue to the end? Will it stand the wear and tear of human needs? Will it continue despite human failure? Is it safe, Paul? Is it dependable, Paul? Will it survive the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and the sufferings of life? Paul, will this justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone, will it be good enough when a person stands before God in judgment? Will it last? Is it secure? And of course, Paul's answer is yes. Yes, it is. Clearly, Paul's answer. Nothing can stand in the way. Paul says death can't stand in the way. He talks about that in Romans 5. Sin can't stand in the way. He talks about that in Romans 6. The law can't stand in the way. He talks about that in Romans 7. Trials and sufferings can't stand in the way. He talks about that in Romans 8. And so Paul makes it very clear in all of these chapters that will follow that the God who provided for the beginning of spiritual life, and we call that justification, and the completion of spiritual life, we call that glorification, also provides for the period in between that we call sanctification. And so Romans chapter 5, verse 11 becomes very important. Now, normally we study this passage and we think of it as the blessings and the benefits of justification. And teachers have been going in that direction for years and years, and what a blessing it's been. And yet, I would like to focus specifically on some truth in this passage, verses 1 through 11, that will encourage us in this subject of the security of salvation. The security of this justification by faith in Jesus Christ. So very simply, I'd like to begin with Romans chapter 5, verse 1 today. Look at one verse, because in the first verse of this passage, Paul makes it very clear in this statement that our salvation is secure. So let's look now at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to notice, first of all, that Paul lets us know that salvation is secure because of our righteous position. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, the first word is what? Therefore. Therefore. This is a word that links chapter 5, verse 1 to everything that Paul has said previously. And what he has said previously, we've looked at now for several months. Never underestimate this word therefore when you see it in the scriptures. Because as one Bible teacher or many Bible teachers say, find out what it's there for. And that word is very important. It draws our attention back to what's been said. And so it's a word of logic. It's a word of reason. Most important, it's a word of action. So we think about what's been said before, and now based on what's been said before, therefore, here's the response, or here's the action. Here's how we move toward what Paul has already said. Let's think about justification just for a moment. We've talked about it now for several months. It's a legal term. It means to declare righteous. And we have found out in our study now for several months that essentially it's the action of God whereby He takes our sins and gives them to Jesus Christ and takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and gives that to us, to those who place their faith in Jesus. And because of that action, God can then declare that one who believes to be righteous before God. And so it's a judicial term, it's a legal term, it's a positional term. We are declared righteous through Jesus Christ. It's an action of God that does that. And based on this action, then God's justice is satisfied because Christ died for our sin. He took the wrath of God upon Himself. His justice is satisfied. His love is satisfied because God forgives sin through Jesus Christ. And God's righteousness is also satisfied because man can now come before God and be declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have this righteous position before God through Jesus Christ. Now notice the next word that he speaks, because he says, having been justified by faith. Now some English translations give us the idea of an action that is taking place in the present and it's continuing. Some translations will say, being justified by faith. But based on the Greek tense of these words, of this phrase, it's properly translated, having been justified by faith. Now that's important. It's important that we understand what Paul's saying here. When we think about justification, for we who have believed, for we who are justified, it's a past action. Having been justified by faith, it is an accomplished fact. In our experience, it occurs at the time of faith. It's not a process. You do not grow into justification. You cannot be more and more justified. When you are justified, you're justified. It's done. It's complete. You have all that you can get when you're justified. It happens suddenly, instantly. At the moment that you trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, God declares you to be justified. And so legally and judicially, God has declared righteous that person who places their faith in Jesus Christ. And frankly, folks, we've said it before, but this is not playing with words. This is not make-believe. This is the action of that holy God that we spoke about this morning in our worship. The action of a holy God who looks at a sinful person and based on faith in the righteous, holy Son of God, Jesus Christ, and His death and resurrection, God legally, judicially declares that person who believes, who has faith in Jesus, to be righteous. And so in legal terms, God has acquitted all charges that could be brought against a person because of his sins. And the judicial verdict is rendered the moment that that person believes, and that verdict is righteous. I think we can grasp the timing. Again, Paul says, having been justified by faith. This is a past action. For we who have believed, this is something God has done for us in the past. I think we can grasp the timing of this truth if we think of our own physical births. We were born physically in the past. It was a one-time event. It's an accomplished fact. No one would say that we are continually being born. And therefore, we understand that in the life of the believer, justification is a past accomplished event. And I would submit to you this morning that it's in these words that we catch the first clear look at the security of salvation. Our justification is past. It's a past completed action of God Himself appropriated through faith. And so through the work of God, we have a righteous position before God. And folks, oh, the struggle and oh, the misery of those who fail to grasp this truth. This is an action of God. This is something that God has done. For those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, it's done, it's past, it's complete, it's settled. And yet those who struggle with that, they worry, they wonder, they work for their salvation. They have no joy, they have no peace, they have no assurance, they have no confidence because they believe that God saved them and yet they must keep themselves saved. And yet Paul makes it very clear this is a past settled action by God. It's finished. It's bound up in the work of a God who is immutable and unchanging and faithful. Folks, there is security in justification. And our salvation is secure because, first of all, our righteous position before God through Jesus Christ. Now look at that statement, verse 1. Because notice second that our salvation is secure because of our reconciled condition. Paul says, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Notice the first words of this phrase. We have. We have peace with God. That's a present possession. We have peace with God. Right now, we have something that's based upon the past completed action of God. And what do we have? Paul says we have peace with God. Let that run through your thinking here just for a moment. We have peace with God. This holy God, this righteous God, who demands justice, whose wrath will be upon sin and sinners, we have peace with God. Now, some have suggested that this peace that we have is a tranquility of mind. In other words, it's a peaceful feeling. It's subjective in nature. But folks, I say to you, that is not the peace that Paul speaks about here. He speaks about an objective peace. It doesn't refer to feelings. It refers to fact. It speaks of a factual relationship. Now, in other places in the Scripture, we do read of this subjective peace, this peace that surpasses all understanding. where God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's that feeling, that tranquility that we can have. But yet Paul speaks here of the peace that comes from the result of war. It's that kind of peace. You see, before salvation, folks, we were at war with God. Amen. We were enemies of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul says, "For if when we were enemies..." In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, Paul says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." You see, we were at war with God. We were enemies of God. And God was our judge. God was the righteous one, the holy one. Now, He still is, but yet through Jesus Christ, that relationship has changed. And yet Paul says here clearly, we have peace with God. So how can the war end? It's like any war. One side has to surrender. One side has to give up. Man must accept the terms of peace. Oh, folks, man is a rebel who must lay down his weapons and surrender. That's how we have peace with God. And so for us to have peace with God, there must be an unconditional surrender. Can you imagine a sinful man dictating terms of surrender to God? Now, and we would say, can you imagine that? But yet it happens all the time. Absolutely. It happens all the time. People say, "God, if you'll save my life, I will believe you. I will trust you. God, if you will get me out of this trouble, I will do this." You see, we're dictating terms to God. "God, I will trust your Son Jesus Christ if I can keep a little bit of my old lifestyle. Or I will trust Jesus Christ as my Savior if I can hold on to my old religion." How many times, how many people has God given me the opportunity in the years here at Faith Baptist Church to share the gospel, and yet people want to hold on to their old gods? And they want to add Jesus to their long list of gods that they worship and gods that they serve. See, when man submits and he humbles and surrenders himself before God, then there can be peace and man can be reconciled with God. And you know, folks, there are lots of people who have no peace with God. There are lots of people who need reconciled to God. Hold your place and turn to Colossians chapter 1, and look with me at verses 19 and 20. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul writes and he says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," in Christ, "all the fullness should dwell, and by Him," by Christ, "to reconcile all things to Himself," by Him, "whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Folks, this is not an uneasy truce between two warring belligerents. You know, it's not like we've heard in the news recently that there's this truce between these enemies and it's an unsteady truce. This is not this uneasy truce. This is peace. Two who were hostile against one another have come together. And this peace is not based on the efforts of man, but on the never-changing declaration of a never-changing God. Paul says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have present possession, we have peace with God. You know what that means? That means in your everyday life, even in the midst of the struggles, and even in the midst of the failings, and even in the midst of the fallings, that if you are a true child of God, what an encouragement and what a strength it is that we have peace with God. That is settled by God through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Notice a third truth. One simple verse. This begins the passage. Paul says that salvation is secure because of our required redemption. He says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if our justification and the resultant peace with God was based on ourselves, frankly, we'd be in serious trouble. For many unbelievers, there is no peace. There's no hope because the basis of salvation is themselves. What they do, what they try to do. And even for many believers, there's no sense of security or assurance, no sense of peace, for after their salvation, they attempt to work to keep their salvation. And therefore, when they fail or when they fall, they begin to believe, I'm not saved. I'm not a believer. How could a believer do this? And yet, those are serious things, and those are thoughts that need to be considered as far as the seriousness of sin, and we'll deal with that when we get to the subject of sanctification. But yet here, people struggle, and yet there is a security. There is a hope when we realize that salvation is through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And so we know that it was Christ who paid for our sin, it was Christ who took upon Himself the wrath of God, and it was Christ who took our place at Calvary. And because He provided that required redemption, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, He is our peace. Folks, we have peace with God because we have Jesus. Amen. He is our peace. And He is our peace because He met all the requirements that God laid forth, and He paid the price that had to be paid by the justice of God. And as long as He lives, as long as Jesus lives, think about this, as long as He lives, which is forever, He will maintain our peace with God. The writer of Hebrews, hold your place, turn to Hebrews chapter 7, and look with me at verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Look what the writer of Hebrews says. He's talking about Jesus. And he says, Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, but He, that's Jesus, He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, and therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. What a blessing. What an encouragement when we think about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Now, can it be any plainer than that? That God was satisfied with Christ's sacrifice and nothing can change that. And as long and as hard as man strives for peace with God, it cannot be found outside the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is about Jesus. Kim, thank you for that song this morning. It's about Jesus. When we think of salvation, when we think of security, it's about Jesus Christ. I read this story about Martin Luther, and the story goes that the devil came to him with a vast, long parchment that was a catalog of Martin Luther's sins. Now, can you imagine if Satan came to you with a parchment that listed all of your sins? Can you imagine that? Would it be a short parchment or a long parchment? Long. Long. So that's how the story goes, that the devil came to Martin Luther with this long parchment of sins, and he held it up, and it unrolled, and it went to the ground, and it just kept going, and he held it up before Martin Luther. And then hour after hour, he read that terrible list in Luther's presence. And he even pointed to a statement at the top of the parchment that said, "All sin." Luther realized that the list contained all of his sins, every action, every word, every thought. And then to beat the believer down even more, Satan reminded Luther that God in His Word says all sin. And then Luther, remembering the words of Scripture, asked Satan, "Where speaks God that word?" And Satan again began to scream, "All sin! All sin! This is all your sin, Luther." And then Luther, snatching the roll from the hand of Satan, unrolled it one more turn at the top and then read the remainder of the words at the top, which said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." All sin. The blood of Jesus. You see, folks, through Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven. To that one who places their faith in Jesus Christ, all sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. Peace with God comes through the finished work of Jesus Christ. This, then, is the basis of assurance of salvation. This is the basis of security in salvation. And folks, this is the basis of perseverance in salvation. And Paul makes it very clear that salvation is secure because of the required redemption through Jesus Christ. So if we are to progress in our Christian life, another way to say it, if we're to grow in our Christian lives, then we must understand the truth of the security of our salvation. If we're to experience that sanctification, that spiritual growth, we must understand the truth of eternal security. Here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul begins to prove the stability and the security of our relationship with God. And he says that our salvation is secure because of our righteous position, having been justified by faith. Because of our reconciled condition, we have peace with God. And because of our required redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes a song or a poem or a verse can summarize in a very special way a specific biblical truth. There's an old hymn that's entitled, "I Hear the Words of Love." Listen to what it says. "I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice. And I have peace with God. 'Tis everlasting peace, sure as Jehovah's name. 'Tis stable as His steadfast throne, forevermore the same. The clouds may go and come, and storms may sweep my sky. This blood-sealed friendship changes not. The cross is ever nigh. I change. He changes not. Christ can never die. His love, not mine, the resting place. His truth, not mine, the tie. My love is oft-times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with Him remains the same. No change Jehovah knows." Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I ask you this morning, do you have peace with God? I ask you this morning, if you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, are you living in that peace? Are you living like you have it? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for the simplicity of Your Word. Thank you for this very clear statement by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And God, may it encourage your people today. Father, if there are those today who are your children who struggle for various reasons with assurance, with this security, God, may the words that you speak through Paul lift them up and encourage them today. Father, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, oh God, we realize by the truth of Scripture that they have no peace with you. Scripture says, Father, that they are enemies. And yet you have sent Jesus Christ to provide reconciliation. God, I pray for them today and pray that you would surely, in great grace and mercy, grant them repentance today. They would come to you through Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to meet, to look at your word, to be encouraged in you and your faithfulness, the promises that you make through Jesus and the work that you've completed through him. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.